Hey, everybody. This is John Washam of Startup Next Door. Today I'm interviewing Earned It, which is a site that rewards you for exercising, specifically for your runs and walks and bike rides. Basically, you get rewarded by the mileage. So I'm here today with Andres Moran and Harry Kotzman II. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, John.
All right. So thanks for taking the time to do this interview. So I kind of gave you a little introduction about the service. Did you have anything to add on to that?
No. I think you got it right. There's two main components to the business where we try to incentivize people to exercise. One is the rewards, as you mentioned, which are, people can earn points by 10 points per mile that they run or walk, and then redeem points for rewards. And some of the rewards levels start as early as 200 points, so that's 20 miles, and it goes up to even 1,000 points. Those rewards being a mix of gift cards and what have you. And then the other mechanism in which we incentivize people is by giving them these virtual trophies for achieving certain exercise behaviors. And those trophies are displayed for the world to see, and they're kind of bragging rights.
Very nice.
Those are the two mechanisms we use.
Well, I love the concept. It's a really cool thing because I'll exercise from time to time, but I hate it and I know I have to do it. And I can see that this kind of service would push people kind of over the edge and, all right, I'll put my running shoes on if I'm going for that gift card or that discount. So it's a cool concept. So how did you two meet and decide to do a startup together?
That's always fun. But the behaviors of people since they've signed up, you know, if you look at some of their Nike Plus profiles, which is the service we initially work with, but we're expanding from there, you know, you watch people's workout behaviors, and once they sign up for Earned It, you can see the frequency, like, jump up. Now, whether that's because they exercise more or they're more cognizant of making sure that they use their device when they exercise, I don't know, you know, what's the deal there. But it is interesting to see them have more tracked exercising once joining.
And then, regarding how we met, so we just met at our day jobs.
So do you guys work in the same office, or how's that?
No.
We actually work for a virtual company right now, so we interact virtually. We did meet together at a company retreat that happened last year and got some FaceTime.
Okay, so you guys are in different parts of the state, different parts of the country?
Opposite coasts, in fact. New York and Seattle. Yeah, which presents its own challenges, which forces you to really communicate a lot more effectively and clearly because you don't have the advantage of the FaceTime.
Okay. So what made you guys kind of decide to do a startup together, though? What guys drew you together whose idea was Earned It?
Earned It was an idea I had for a couple of years, actually. And I guess I just didn't really feel compelled to go out and start this thing. And I didn't, for whatever reason, I just didn't pull the trigger on it. And finally, I said, enough is enough. I'm gonna pull the trigger on this. So I did a whole bunch of research and put my ideas together as much as possible for Earned It. And then started thinking about who I could tap to, because I'm not a tech person. I don't know anything about building a web product and scaling a web business. So I knew I would have to bring someone who's very strong in that department. And I had become familiar with Harry's work from our day jobs and saw what he did for the company and saw the quality of it, the level of it. I said, this would be perfect. Now, I was hesitant at first to approach him, but just because there's, certain sensitivities there when you're both working for the same company during the day. But then I called him up, and fortunately he felt it was a good idea, and he's been motivated ever since.
Right on.
What do you think, Harry? Does that sound about right?
Sounds pretty good. Yeah, you came to me with the idea, and the concept was very intriguing. I got to be honest, you know, at first I questioned the ability to pull it off, not on the technical side, but on the biz dev side. It seemed like how are you going to bring people along that just want to give away their product to people for running? But, you know, Andres has made me a believer there, as you can see from our initial offerings and the response we've gotten from the reward partners. That was great. You know, the original concept, it took some tweaking, I think, once we got together. You know, we've been really great at being able to kind of help bounce ideas off each other and kind of shape where this thing is going. You know, so there's been a couple different strategic changes, I think, from the original concept that sure. has made it a stronger business. You know, one of the concepts being, you know, we're not here to replace your existing workout program or your workout device. We're actually partners to these people. So, you know, that was kind of, I guess, a strategic decision is, you know, do we want people coming to us as the endpoint, or do we want them to still use their daily miles of the world and the run, you know, the Nike Plus websites and things like that. And so, you know, that was something that, I think, you know, part of the original concept was maybe, you know, we become your centralized hub, and that over time has kind of morphed into, you know, why compete with these people? Let's partner with these people and be of added value to them. And it's actually so far panned out very well.
Mm-hmm. So you two are on opposite coasts of the United States. So Andres, you mentioned a little bit about having to have really focused communication. Have there been other challenges due to the distance, and how have you overcome them? Are there still issues?
You know, I don't really. I think we've handled the challenges fantastically. I mean, yeah, we've been very good at communicating and very open-minded to each other's ideas and very respectful of each other's ideas. And I think when you have a lot of FaceTime, you kind of feel that perhaps you can get away with maybe being a little more self-centered in one's thinking, but that just can't happen over a phone line. I mean, you really need to be completely open, which I think has really helped create a great working relationship.
Yeah. And making good use of technology, that was a little bit of a struggle at first, even though we work for a virtual company at the moment, you know, we still had to kind of sort out our own working habits. And actually, the same service we're using here for this, Skype, has been instrumental. We kind of changed our workflow and introduced that, you know, now we get together, you know, have a video chat, which feels a lot more personal, or, you know, sharing our screen, or we'll work collaboratively on something by sharing one of our screens. That's worked out really good. One other thing, too, that kind of became a little bit of an issue that we then got over is, you know, at first everything's kind of new, right? So each person's got ideas, they're just moving forward, trying to implement them. And then quickly you start realizing the other person has expectations and they have thoughts. And, you know, like, I can't just go change the color of something because I feel like it. You know, Andres may like the color that it already is.
That was an early lesson. But it was good. It was good, yeah.
Yeah, so we quickly learned, you know, we got to a point where we have to make sure that we're communicating before doing things. You know, not just about what is going on, but what's going to go on, to make sure we're both in the same mindset.
Okay. So it's just the two of you at this point. How have you declared your business? Are you a partnership or LLC?
We are a C Corp out of Delaware. Reason being, most businesses actually incorporate in Delaware because they have more flexible corporate law there. And and the C Corp allows you to take on different levels of share classes. So okay. that if you decide to raise money, you can offer preferred shares and also have common shares.
Okay. Was there a difference between that and I'm not really all that educated on the different kinds of businesses. I know that all, you know, the corporations do have shares of different kinds, but was there a reason why you didn't want to go LLC?
So LLC, LLC has a limitation on the number of shareholders you can have, and okay. it also is just, it's really just one ownership structure, which is just You're just a percentage owner of the business. There's not these different classes of shares. I own a business down in Miami that's an LLC. And, you know, there's certain benefits to it, which are such as pass-through taxation. What that means is that the corporation itself does not pay taxes. You only pay taxes on your percent ownership of the profits of the business.
Okay. So you pay taxes on your equity, basically?
That's it. That's right. With a C-Corp, essentially the corporation is going to pay taxes, and then whatever capital gains you make on your ownership of that corporation, you will also pay taxes on that. But the benefits certainly outweigh that cost.
Now, does doing a C-Corp cause does it make doing your taxes a little bit harder? Do you have to employ an accountant to do that, or is that still something you'll be able to do on your own?
You know, I never do my taxes on my own. I'm a bad person to ask for that.
Okay.
Yeah, me either.
And we're a startup, so, I mean, who says anything about revenue?
That's right. So your business is relatively new. You guys launched, what, within the last month?
Less than two weeks.
Less than 2 weeks. So how are you getting the word out about your service, and how's that working for you?
We're tying into some of the existing runner communities. So far, we've launched with one called Twike. It's T-W-I-I-K-E. And Jason Weiner is the founder of Twike, and he was very generous with his help, and he sent an email out to his users and sent a bunch of tweets out, and they really got the ball rolling. And right now, we're managing that initial batch of users, as well as incorporating Twitter and Facebook to get the word out. And now we're going to be approaching other running communities, and even I'm going to be tapping on the shoulder of Nike as well to help spur the word.
All right. So what kind of feedback are you getting from customers at this point, 2 weeks in?
So far, so good. I mean, everyone, Ari, wouldn't you say? I mean, everyone's pretty fired up about it. I mean,
everything I've heard back so far has been great. There's, you know, we've had a number of kind of very avid people sign up for it and use it and paying attention. And it's been quite interesting. Like, people care about this. They must see some value to themselves because they care enough to point out, hey, I think there's a problem here. Here's a little glitch I found. Where sometimes you get people that use a service, they don't care enough to even take the effort to do that. But the users so far, you know, have gone way above and beyond anything I would ever expect in trying to help us, because I think this is something that, you know, our users want to see succeed. So okay. That's been really, really positive feedback. Yeah. to have something that you just get a sense that your own users want you to succeed and are rooting for you.
Well, I think that's the real key, is building up kind of a community around your product to kind of to help support it and improve it, and to really get the word out themselves, right? Because that community is what's going to end up being the people who advertise your service the most, especially in the early part.
That's right.
Well, the site has a fun look and some whimsical hamster-related elements. So who designed the site? Is that you,
Harry?
That's
all Harry.
Well, okay, that's Harry with a good deal of direction from Andres. If you could only see the drab original version that I put together. Living here in Seattle, I've got a thing for gray, I guess. So we put this thing together, and Andres is just kind of like, yeah, there's an awful lot of gray.
Well, a lot of gray is the Apple look, right? The Apple interface.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we've since gone through and spruced it. I mean, it's just kind of a fun thing, right? It's kind of playful, and that's what we liked about it. I'm not in no way, shape, or form declare myself a designer. You know, it's something I do out of necessity. But, you know, actually just today we had one of our users, designer, you know, say, hey, you know, if you guys want some help for this, I love this site, want to see it go, and, you know, here I am. I'd love to help you guys. So
nice.
Yeah, so the initial design was, you know, it's a lot of my work with a lot of input from Andres to kind of help steer it in a good direction.
Our logo was all hairy, and I love it.
It's great. I like the little hamster wheel. I'm not a biz dev guy, like business development yet, but hope maybe someday. But I think it's fascinating, you know, building business relationships and that kind of thing. And that was really key to this, to the success of your business. So how did you get your foot in the door to such a wide array of companies to use as reward partners?
Yeah, so, you know, the value proposition is kind of an easy one to convey, and that being, look, we're going to be amassing a base of users who are physically active. Therefore, they are concerned either about their health and or their appearance. And those are two highly coveted, you know, that characteristics of a demo you want to pursue as a brand. They also, all of these early users own an iPhone or an iPod Touch because right now it's all Nike Plus. In order to use Nike Plus, really, most of you are going to need an iPhone or an iPod Touch. Well, so
one clarification there. Unfortunately, I don't have the coolest, latest iPhone yet. So there is a non-Apple way of doing this. They sell this wristband that you can get that has the sensor and then the wristband. So want to throw that out there for anyone who doesn't have Apple and would like to use our service.
Yes, that is true. But for the other 98, 99%. so, you know, that means that, you know, the user base also skews not only health conscious and image and or image conscious, like, you know, body centric. They also skew a little bit more tech savvy. And you have some more disposable income, right? So it's a very coveted, sought after demographic, and we're allowing brands to build a relationship with these users. Instead of just broadcasting a marketing message at them, they're saying, hey, kudos to you for doing all this exercise and taking care of yourself. Here's a little gift from us. And that fosters a relationship which has a much deeper, more meaningful impact than any marketing message can give. And, you know, it's not easily forgotten. So it really makes a lasting impression. And so that's an easy sell into the brands. And then on top of that, you know, these early ones, that I tapped into, I either knew someone at the company or it was somewhat of an acquaintance, into the company. So I was able to at least open the conversation that way. But then from then on, the value proposition sold itself.
And I can see, as you know, you get a few reward partners on, you can kind of use those as ammunition for your next meeting with somebody and say, well, we already have these guys on. Wouldn't you like to join?
That's right. And so far, granted, we have just a limited number of data points, but so far the reward partners are very happy with the way they're represented on the page and with the exposure they're getting, you know, to our users.
You mind sharing with the audience some of the names of some of these reward partners and what they're offering?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a company called Bonobos, which is an e-commerce site that it's a men's apparel, right? So they have very well-fitting clothes tailored just for men. And when I say tailored, I don't mean custom tailored. I mean geared to men. They start off as selling what they say, you know, awesome fitting pants. And they've also moved into shirts and shorts, and they're expanding into other categories. But they are, you know, the price range there, pants can range anywhere from $80 to $250 on the high end. And if you know, their seams are cut differently, the waist is cut differently, really geared to, you know, how making a man look good, right, in pants.
Okay.
Fashionable wear. And that's a $50 gift card that they're offering. There is a company by the name of Shoe Crush, another e-commerce site, which sells high-end women's shoes, like fashionable shoes, not running shoes, but like dress shoes and handbags and what have you. And Shoe Crush is offering a $50 gift card as well, just like Bonobos. There is Element Bars. Element Bars are these customized energy bars. You can go online, pick the ingredients that you want to go into the energy bars, and you can even name those bars after you make them. So they're offering a free box of energy bars. Ideally, it's what they do is it's a kind of a private discount sales site where they have these top end brands who are they're able to offer their wares for up to 80% off.
Who is that?
Members only site, and that's called Ideally. They're offering a $25. Okay. Yeah, I D E E L I. They're offering a $25 gift card. So I have Ideally, but no, there was.
We've got there's a couple other. The Amanda Starrett.
Amanda Starrett Jewelry. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Handmade jewelry, earrings, necklaces, just beautiful handmade jewelry. She's offering a $100 gift card.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the big prize right now. I think that's the one my wife is after, actually.
Yeah. That's a really nice one. And then we're offering a web consult with a top-tier trainer at Equinox Fitness Clubs. His name is Jesse Schwartzman. He's also a certified personal trainer, registered dietitian. He's getting his master's. He's about to complete his master's at Columbia University in exercise physiology and nutrition. So he's pretty impressive, to say the least. And so he's offering a complimentary web consult. Not as a sales lead, because he's here in New York, so he's not doing it in to try to hook you into, you know, getting personal training sessions, because geographically that's impossible.
Right.
It's just a nice reward if you have any questions about exercise or diets and what have you.
The we have our current list of available rewards openly available on our website. If you go to earnedit.com. There is a rewards tab across the top, and you can see everything that's currently available.
Okay, so you can see that without logging in.
Correct.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we didn't want to, like, you know, have you go through the work of getting signed up just to find out these are some lame gifts or something. You know, we're very proud of what we've been able to do, you know, and think that these are things that have a lot of value to people that would be interested and earned it. So we want
great.
To get that out there for everyone to see.
We're showing them off.
All right. I'll link to those rewards for you.
That'd be great.
So, what's your are you currently seeking funding, or do you foresee in the near term the need to get around to funding to push to the next level?
Yeah, we may be considering doing a seed round.
Okay.
We don't think the business, at least now, you know, in the next 12 to 24 months, is going to require a large injection of capital. But a seed round would be good as far as hiring maybe one or two other heads, addition to, you know, of course, Harry and I aren't being paid by Earnedit, so it would help us at least pay our bills. And then just for expansion as far as acquiring reward partners and just doing some more typical online marketing and biz dev deals. But it's not – it wouldn't be a large sum, like I said, not in the next 12 to 24 months. Perhaps after that point, you know, we'd want to raise maybe a more typical venture round. But, we're thinking, less than $500,000 for sure. Maybe even a couple hundred thousand.
Okay.
But that said, we haven't actively begun that process.
Okay. So any angel investors out there? So what's your business model? Or your expected business model? And how do you plan on supporting your business as it scales? Like, what if you get TechCrunched or you end up featured in Runner's World tomorrow?
Well, the scaling, I think, is definitely something Harry could address.
We're actually in the middle of a move from our initial thing to more of a cloud-based solution so that we can scale with a lot more ease.
Okay. You were going to say something, Andres?
Oh yeah, just regarding the as far as the revenue model. Right now we don't charge these brands for the ability to offer rewards and have this access to our users. But we anticipate that they in the future we will be able to charge brands for this access and for the ability to forge a relationship with our users. So that's going to be one of the primary revenue streams we think in the future is from the reward partners. Additionally, what we could do is have a sponsor of sorts, perhaps a health insurance plan or who knows what. I don't want to pigeonhole ourselves into being a sponsor of the rewards themselves, whereby they actually fund the points system. And then, you know, the earned it will just keep a small percentage of that spread.
Yeah. In addition, we got a couple other secret sauce ideas. I'm not sure ready to spill the beans on those. But those first two are the more traditional routes that we're looking at.
That's right. That's right. There's another pretty big idea that we think will take off, but I'd rather not say anything just yet.
Okay. I mean, I can definitely see your rewards area as being a because over time, if you were to get 1,000 reward partners, it would just be unmanageable. It'd be hard for people to find something. So I could see where, you know, over time, maybe, you know, people pay for, yeah, you can be a reward partner, you know, if you pay the sponsorship amount or something like that.
That's right. That's right. Companies historically have always been willing to pay to offer even, you know, free goods and discounted goods and what have you to the right demo. So this is no different.
Yeah, and this is definitely a great target market. There's definitely a lot of services and products around fitness, exercise, running, bikes.
Yep.
So we'll see how what the future holds, but, you know, at this point, our goal is to not just open this up willy-nilly to everybody that wants to have something to give away to people. This, you know, we want to try to make it that these are valuable rewards that our users would actually care. You know, we don't want to just be the junkyard of everyone that has something to give away, right? We want to keep these meaningful rewards. So, you mm-hmm. know, in that vein, we could end up with like a marketplace where, you know, people might compete to actually be part of our service.
That's right.
Okay. Part of the advice on Startup Next Door is to provide resources that are free and low cost for people to use to build their businesses so that they don't have to, you know, chase VCs down the street and try to get their money. Can you recommend any of the any services that you use for building your business that, you know, free or low cost, affordable for small businesses that you could recommend?
There's a few tools that we're using. One is called unfuddle.com, and we're using that for our source code management as well as, you know, bug and feature tracking. So that's been pretty good for helping us kind of, you know, set little goals for ourselves, milestones. This is what we're trying to achieve, and a place to kind of capture the work that we want to do.
So it's planning and source control?
Yeah, they have a source code hosting component as well as kind of a project and bug management component. There's also some wiki-type features, but we haven't used those yet. So we actually also, on the free side of things, utilize Google Apps. So that's all of our email hosting, you know, and, you know, document collaboration.
Okay.
They're two great ones for kind of our communication and keeping, you know, things in order. So another tool actually that we've become very fond of is called Chartbeat.
Chartbeat?
Yeah, Chartbeat. That one's not free, however. Unfuddle, going back a second, Unfuddle, we're actually on their free service at the moment, but they do offer pretty low-cost plans once you grow beyond on the initial stage.
Okay.
Chartbeat, $10 a month, and you get real-time insight into what's going on your site. They'll alert you when things happen, like hitting a new high of users. It's just awesome. Like,
it is. Okay. You can thank the guys over at BetaWorks for that. It's a great product.
Okay.
Trying to think what else we use. You know, we're a lamp-based shop, so it's all – I saw you had a article not too long ago talking about software stacks and things like that. So we're all open source, Linux, Apache, PHP, MySQL stuff. So, you know, that's definitely saved a lot of money. There's no licensing costs. And it also keeps the server costs down, too, because utilizing the LAMP-based server is a lot cheaper than paying for something like a Windows-based server.
Okay.
Another great thing is Rackspace, where we're going to be doing our cloud-based hosting, because they offer like very inexpensive initial things, and then push a button, and you just grow as you need to. Eventually, you reach a point where you have to grow more than the push button phase, but, you know, at least for getting started until you don't know what's going to happen, that's a great way to do your hosting where you can readily grow it. It's kind of like Amazon in a way. People may be more familiar with the Amazon Web Services, but, you know, one of the compelling things, in addition to their record of customer service, is I think that their initial barrier to entry is a lot lower at Rackspace than Amazon. Somebody out there may question me on that one, but okay. At least the initial cost of their low-end server seems a lot cheaper for getting in the door.
Great. Yeah, those are great recommendations. So,
what other tools we use?
Love us some
Skype.
It's nice and lean. Are you guys so in the long? Let's look at the long run. So, are you looking for a big exit, looking to get bought out someday, or is this something that you want to just continue to build on for the long run and kind of make it your new day job?
Well, we definitely want to, you know, eventually perhaps be able to dedicate our full time attention to this. That would be the ideal.
Maybe phrase that. Maybe eventually not have two full time jobs.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it right there. You know, I come from the world of venture capital, so in my head, you know, an exit is always what you have in mind. Some form of an exit, most likely an acquisition, is definitely a goal here. But it's not like that's not something I have in mind every single day. You know, every single day we just have in mind of creating a great product and a great service for people to use and just making it as high caliber as possible. And from there on, you know, that any exit or acquisition will just fall in place.
All right. Well, I'm gonna close unless you guys wanted to add anything.
Well, this was great. Yeah, we're excited about everything. We appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
All right. All right. Well, thank you guys, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, John.
All right.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.